Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 140. Carl Hanley, you are running for city councilor in Ward 12. Welcome to the Public Records, the 155 Podcast.
Thank you, Joey. It's a pleasure to be here.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am married to Lorraine. I have three wonderful children. I am known for my boundless energy and enthusiasm and how I interact with people. I'm always the go-to resource for people in supporting them with projects, questions, and things that they need done. I'm a big supporter of the community. We spend a lot of time in the community supporting local businesses, our local service groups. I do a lot of volunteering in the community as well. I'm a very approachable, engageable person.
Why are you running?
Local politics, politics in general, has something that has always fascinated me as a young man growing up. Growing up in Ireland especially, coming into the early 90s, the peace deal that was struck for Northern Ireland, that was always a fascinating time in Irish history in particular. So being part of that growing up, seeing what happened, looking at local council here, and just seeing how local council politics, you can make a difference in a community. And that has always been something that has drawn me in. And being part of the community, volunteering, working with the local service club, seeing the difference you can make in a community, the natural step for me was to step forward and run for local council.
Do you live in Ward 12, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
I think it's very important for a local councillor to live and work in the community. It's the only true way that you can connect with the residents of the community and understand what's happening for them, understand their perspective, and live and sort of breathe the issues and concerns of the community.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
As I mentioned, I've done a lot of volunteer work through our local service club. I'm a big part of our Rotary Club in Ancaster. And we've done a lot of volunteering projects across Ancaster and the greater Hamilton area. We've also opened up our home to the Girl Guides and Boy Scout clubs in Ancaster. Throughout COVID and over the last couple of years, they have come to our house and they've set up their tents and camps outside and been able to do their activities like campfires, roast their marshmallows, all that kind of thing.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 12 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
In talking with residents in the community of Ancaster and Flamborough West, the key issues that come up time and time again are around transportation. A complete road study needs to be done across the Ward 12 region to address some of the concerns that come up for pedestrian safety, cycling, traffic in general, and also public transit, to review and look at how we can implement different settings within the Ward 12 to support the community. The second one that comes up is the diversity and availability of housing across Ward 12, not just for new people that are looking to purchase houses and move into the area, but also our seniors that are looking to step down and stay in the communities that they've lived in all their lives. In the greater Hamilton area, there are a number of things that we need to look at. Most importantly, I think, is the homelessness and the encampments that are across the city. We need to have a look at how we can address those in an effective and sustainable manner for those that are in need. We need to look at the resources that we're providing for them. And perhaps instead of spending $400,000 on additional bylaw officers to remove these encampments, we need to look at how we can implement and put supports in place to address the concerns and the needs and the causation of the homelessness for these individuals.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 12 on Hamilton City Council?
I am a very calm, approachable, personable individual. I'm known for my communication and collaborative skills. So I bring that as a first to City Council, to work collaboratively, not just with the community, but also with my fellow councillors, to work to the betterment of Hamilton City in general, as well as the residents of Ward 12. I'm a very balanced and technically minded individual, and that comes from many years of sort of that inquisitive nature that I have, asking questions, exploring, and understanding things. And to bring that to City Council in support of our residents in Ward 12, but also the people of the community of the greater city of Hamilton, to look to ask those questions, to understand what's happening, and you know, be truthful and clear about what's happening across the city. From a third perspective, taking those that approachability, that balanced sort of mindset and understanding what's happening. I'm decisive when decisions need to be made. Do the research, understand the concerns and problems that are coming up for the community and Hamilton in general, and how best to serve the community and the residents of the greater city of Hamilton.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council deems confidential. With all of this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
I think the key word in that question, Joey, is the word majority. The majority of council needs to decide what's confidential. And to me, it jumps out that that would only happen if there aren't enough questions asked, there's a misunderstanding of the facts at hand, there isn't enough clarity around what the issues and concerns are. And as I mentioned earlier, in terms of my that sort of technical mindset and exploring and asking questions and sort of delving into the details to fully understand what needs to happen. Of course, we have to look at it from a legal perspective as well, if there are any concerns that need to be addressed. However, understanding fully the facts and everything that are happening, council should be able to make informed decisions from there. The other thing I would say is when we look at, take for example, police investigations and high-profile criminal trials or things like that, there is always a level of information that is shared with the public as to what is happening. And in sharing brief details of what's happening at council to let people know what's happening and to understand and work with them that as the information is available to be shared, council will share it with them.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
The judicial inquiry on the Red Hill Parkway is something that the next council, it's incumbent upon them to look at all of the details, understand everything that's highlighted in the report, and be completely transparent with the people in Hamilton. We need to address this head on. We need to understand fully the report and implement any changes or recommendations that come out of it so as to avoid anything like this happening in the future. We need to learn our lessons. We need to grow and move forward from this so that we don't have this happen to the greater city of Hamilton again.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
Over the last number of years, I had the experience of being in the sort of the immediate area of the Eglinton LRT as construction was happening there, and also the Kitchener-Waterloo LRT when various phases of that were under construction. There is going to be significant impact to residents during the construction process. There's no denying that. It's critical that council has measured plans in place that are smart and reliable and that are sustainable throughout the length of construction to allow businesses in and out, to allow people in and out. And any bypass zones or alternate routes that are put in place need to be in place for the length of the project. They can't be there for 6 months or a year and then one of them has to close for one reason or another. We need to be proactive and have set routes that are in support of the businesses and the residents in the area.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 12 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
Ward 12 has some incredible natural resources, hikes and trails in the area. But what may not be known to everyone is that much of Ancaster is one of the oldest settled communities in this region. And as you hike and walk the trails in Ancaster, you can see some of the older buildings and ruins that are still present today. One that comes to mind is the Hermitage, which dates back to the mid-1800s. And it's incredible to see as you walk through the trails in the forest and see this opening in this old ruin right in the middle of it. So it's certainly worth exploring and checking out.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. there are two questions on this topic. The city of Hamilton is updating its residential zoning bylaws to conform with the provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law. Ward 12 zoning does not conform with the PPS. The result is ad hoc changes being imposed by the Ontario Land Tribunal. What is your vision for zoning changes in Ward 12? Please specifically address Wilson Street intensification within the Meadowlands and existing low-density single-detached zones.
Certainly, there is a lot of projects coming up in the Wilson Street area at the moment, and not without their controversies, of course. In keeping with what's happening within the village core, to preserve the history and culture of and the character of the village, it's critical to the development and growth of the village as we move forward. It's the identity of Ancaster. It's what makes it Ancaster. So we need to work smartly and proactively in working with the planning contractors and developers and look to have developments that are in line with the visual, the aesthetic that we have in the downtown core of Ancaster, that old stone facade buildings within 2 to 3 stories with a mix of residential and office space, medical space, and retail space. In talking with businesses and people in the area, much of them are in favor and advocating for that type of mixed-use development in the downtown core. There's no real place for 8 and 9-story buildings within the core of old Ancaster Village. It would be completely out of line with everything else that's there. And keeping things within that 2 to 3 stories would be ideal and well received within the community. Looking to the intensification of the Meadowlands area and its continued growth, and it's very clear as you travel along Highway 53, Rymal Road, you can see all of the development that's happening there. And there's a lot more to come. We need to look at that and how we're incorporating communities into that, how we can best provide for the community and those that are moving into the community. We need to have a mix of 1 and 2 bed condo units. We need to have townhouses. We need to have detached and semi-detached housing options, parks, recreation space. We need to incorporate some social housing into the community as well. We need to allow for communities that can support new people, our kids and grandkids buying homes in the area at an affordable price in those 1 and 2 bed condos and townhomes, and then have those semi-detached and detached family homes that they can move up to, but equally they can downsize in years to come to stay in their communities and go back to those 1 and 2 bed and townhouse options that are there. Looking at the low density construction or housing developments in, you know, the existing residential areas in Ancaster, many of those areas are along the Ancaster Creek, the watershed area that traverses through the village. A lot of those houses were built in the 40s and 50s, and the infrastructure in those areas is not geared and set up for high-level, high-density development. I used to live in some of those existing residential zones that are in Ancaster, and I can tell you there was flooding that did happen because there's no... Not in all of them, but in many of them, there are no stormwater facilities. So to increase density in there, to add more houses, to add more traffic, more people, it would be to the detriment of the area more so than to provide for affordable housing or anything like that. I think it'll be a real challenge to develop successfully into sort of that gentler high density within the existing residential in that low density housing in Ancaster.
Large commercial plaza sites are converting into mixed-use mid-rise development across Hamilton. There was one formal consultation concept plan submitted for a Meadowlands Plaza. At present, there is no city planning policy specific to commercial to mixed-use redevelopment. Within Ward 12, the plaza is at Fiddler's Green, and the portion of Old Highway 2 that served as the 403 connector decades ago are good examples of potential redevelopment corridors. What is your vision for this type of redevelopment, and how will you achieve that vision?
So when we look along Wilson Street in the neighborhood of where those two plazas are, there are a number of examples of 3-story and some 4-story, but for the most part, 3-story condo buildings and professional centers in that area. There's the Stonegate apartment complex, Ancaster Mews. There's another condo building under construction currently, and the professional center that's immediately across the road from that Fortino's Plaza. They're all in line with that 3-story development. So to look to those plazas to rebuild and revitalize the center of that sort of core of Ancaster to bring in some multi-level residential and commercial spaces into that area would be a tremendous addition to the village, improving transportation and infrastructure around that area as well. Public transit would be key to success with something like that, allowing for condo development overhead and having plenty of space for medical offices, doctor's offices, retail stores, and everything else on the lower floors with surface level parking. It would be a tremendous addition to the village. I think there's plenty of space on those sites for a number of those buildings and that type of construction, and I think it would be well received within the community.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 12, with numerous pedestrian deaths in recent years, which have shocked and saddened the community. What is your plan to address road safety? Please provide 3 detailed specifics of your plan.
As mentioned earlier, road safety is a concern that comes up for the residents in Ward 12. The complete study of the road infrastructure needs to be undertaken. A big part of that would be improving pedestrian safety and cycling safety. There are a number of areas throughout Ancaster where there's partial sidewalks or no sidewalks. They need to be revisited, reviewed, and completed where possible to improve pedestrian safety. Cycling lanes. Again, even on the center of Wilson Street, there are bike lanes to the side of the road. But again, in certain portions, the bike lanes disappear and then they reappear later on. So that kind of inconsistency is a danger to cyclists, which a lot of them then take to the sidewalks, which is a counter to the pedestrians on the sidewalk as well. So it's finding that proper balance. Public transit is something else that we need to improve, which will support an improvement in road safety, giving people additional options to move around the community. And I would also look at some of the major intersections where we have pedestrian crossings, the right turns on red. But I would also at the major intersections look to have 4-way stops so that pedestrians can move at different points and they're not looking for traffic. Traffic comes to a complete halt to allow people to walk from one side of the intersection to the other.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
I have, from my background and experience, I have a good understanding, I should say, of some of the bylaws and the building codes within our Ontario province. In living in the Hamilton area and having done some permit work and applications on our own house in the past as well, I do have experience with reading bylaws and researching what needs to happen and what can happen. So I would certainly continue to explore and read up on the bylaws and everything that happen at the Hamilton City level, but also at a provincial and federal level to have a full understanding of what's coming down the line, so to speak. In terms of who do I talk to, who do I speak with, from a planning and sort of construction perspective, I have a lot of contacts in the architectural and engineering world from, again, from my past. And there are incredible resources. Some of them are well-regarded architects here in the Hamilton area that are very focused on environmental, sustainable construction. And that would be something that I would lean into in conversation with regards to planning and understanding different things happening. And my own professional growth and development, I've spent a lot of time over the years from an entry-level position, if you will, working up into management through my business degree and my personal development in leadership skills, working on the communication skills, listening and understanding people, being empathetic to what's happening, and I would continue to develop and hone those skills.
What are 2 changes you will propose to improve city services?
I think one thing that we really need to look at a city level is a 311 system. 311 system would add immense transparency and clarity to the citizens across the Hamilton area, but also for tourists and people coming into the city to see what's happening. Giving people that opportunity to report on, say, potholes, sidewalk issues, having that clarity to be able to follow up on them. And it gives the transparency to the residents, but also to councillors and the city itself as to what work needs to be done, what are priorities, and how long it takes to address the things that are being reported out there. So that's one thing that I really think we need to look at from a city perspective is a 311 system. As I mentioned earlier, homelessness and encampments are a significant priority for the upcoming city council as well. And it is something that we need to address to improve things within the city. And that $400,000 that we mentioned earlier, that current council are looking to hire additional bylaw officers, redirecting those funds into wellness and supports and looking at things from the start and preventing and working with people to try and stop homelessness, but also to work with them in the resources that they need to progress and move forward.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
I think one of the biggest things that impacts the quality of life in Hamilton with the city council is communication and relationship that we currently have or that are currently there with the sitting council. We need to, as a priority, address and understand those concerns, begin community engagement actively, rebuild and repair those relationships to the betterment of everyone in the community, not just the residents of Ward 12, but across the spectrum. Another thing that we really need to look at, and I know the timing, there was an announcement this morning with regards to climate action and policies, but I do think we need to work with the residents and the businesses in the area, in the community, to offer them sustainable grants programs that we can work with them from an environmental perspective to improve and upgrade their businesses. And that would make a significant difference to everyone in the community.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
In terms of describing me, I would hope that they would say I was true to my word, that I delivered and engaged with the community as I promised to do, and that I was reliable and I was authentic in everything that I promised and that the community asked for. In terms of council in general, I would hope that they will look back and say that we were transparent, we were clear, and we were progressive and measured in what we said we would do, what we set out to do, and that those things were achieved and we made a difference for the city of Hamilton.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
Thank you, Joey. I appreciate your doing this and asking those questions to inform and the community know. From the community's perspective, I would encourage everyone in the community to get out and research and talk to the candidates and councillors in their community that are running for local office, to engage with them, ask questions, and understand what's happening. If they believe in someone, they can make a difference to support them, to engage with them, and their vote, their choices matter. And that's what I would like to say to everyone. You know, get out and be part of the process. It's an incredible experience, eye-opening, and it's certainly worth getting involved to make a difference for the city of Hamilton.
And how do people find out more about you, your platform, and get in touch with your campaign?
My website is a great starting point, carlhanley.ca, H-A-N-L-E-Y.ca. You'll also find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I am a very approachable, contactable person. If anyone wants to reach out, ask questions, bounce ideas off of me, I'm more than open to having those conversations. Online, in person, over a coffee, whatever people would like.
This has been episode 140 of The Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of The Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.